We have a no questions asked refund and return policy on our beef. I think it has been used twice in the past 3 years. Once because it was considered too fatty, and when we opened the return packages, it was beautiful marbled beef that literally melted in your mouth when cooked. But the customer deemed it too fatty. Their prerogative, I guess. And the other time was because it was too beefy. Yep, you heard that right. The flavor was too beefy. This is the Respect the Beef podcast with Waikikahe Ranch. Episode 2, Not All Beef is Created Equal. Growing up in Scotland, we just had beef. We didn't have feedlots where cows are fed large amounts of corn and grain to fatten them up. Beef was beef, and it tasted like beef. When I moved to Canada, I honestly found the beef bland until I discovered there was a difference in the beef I'd grown up on and the beef I was now eating. And the difference was feedlots and or grain-fed cattle. To me, grass-fed beef is proper beef. It does have a stronger flavor than its grain-fed counterpart. So when a customer returned their beef because it was too beefy, we refunded their purchase. Did you know not all beef is created equal? There is a difference between grass-fed and finished beef and grain-fed beef. Grass-fed cattle spend their entire lives eating only grass. They are not fed any grains. In the spring, summer, and fall, cows graze on pasture and on range. And in the winter, they eat hay, dried grasses, and haylage, fermented grasses. Our cows are out on range, so they eat plants and shrubs and leaves as well. And the breeds we have are really good at foraging for all other kinds of goodies, especially the Highlands. We've even found a cow chowing down on a moose antler. It was quite a bizarre sight walking into the range and finding this cow literally munching on a big antler. And when we go into a field, they love to lick on us. I call it bovine ectoplasm, and it reminds me of Jabba the Hutt in Star Wars, the way their tongue just moves around and around. But they love the salt on our skin. Unlike grain-fed cattle, 100% grass-fed and finished animals take 6 to 12 months longer to reach market weight. Up to 1 year of extra grass, care, love, and labor is predominantly why grass-fed beef may be pricier than most cuts of conventional beef. And here comes another did you know. Did you know that different breeds affect the finished beef? We have predominantly Highlands and Galloways here on our ranch. Both of these are Scottish breeds, but they're also hairy breeds. Their extra hairy coat means they stay warmer during cold spells without the need of that insulating fat layer. This means their beef is naturally leaner, similar to that of bison. And for a beef producer, they need less feed as they are not using as much of their calorie intake for warmth. So it all goes into producing amazing beef. Did you also know that there is a huge calorie and macronutrient difference between 100% grass-fed and finished beef and grain-finished? I am a bit of a macro addict. I work out almost religiously, though my motto is, I work out so I can drink wine. Life is all about balance. Anyway, I do track macros, and I was blown away at the difference between logging 8 ounces of ground beef, and 8 ounces of grass-fed ground beef. Tracking macronutrients or macros focuses on carbs, fats, and proteins. So 8 ounces of grass-fed ground beef has the following macros according to Avatar Nutrition: 60 grams of proteins, 0 grams of carbs, and 14 grams of fats. And 8 ounces of just beef or just ground beef has 60 grams of protein, 0 grams of carbs, and a whopping 39.4 grams of fat. That is more than double the amount of fat in the same volume of beef. Both items are 80-20 ground, so that means that they're 80% meat to 20% fat, which is just a regular ground beef. So in the grass-fed, they have 25.4 grams less fat than your standard grain-fed beef. That is huge. But remember, not all fats are bad. Some fats are good, but that is for another conversation. I'm going to get a wee bit sciencey on you now, but I'll try and keep it simple and not too convoluted. Grass-fed beef contains more healthy fats than conventional beef. Grass-fed beef provides up to 6 times more omega-3 fatty acids than grain-fed beef. Those are the good fats. Grass-fed beef has fewer calories due to its lower fat content. Beef from grass-fed cattle is lower in total fat content because their diet is more natural and clean. Grass-fed helps support healthy blood sugar levels. Beef from grass-fed cows contains a certain beneficial fatty acid called CLA. And I'm going to completely mess up the pronunciation, but it's conjugated linoleic acid. CLA can help prevent several diseases and conditions like obesity and diabetes. Grass-fed beef contains electrolytes. One grass-fed strip-loin steak contains 732 milligrams of potassium, 49 milligrams of magnesium, and 118 milligrams of sodium. So after that big workout or that long run, instead of reaching for the Gatorade, have a steak. Grass-fed beef can help keep your heart healthy, reducing the risk of heart disease. Clinical evidence concludes a decreased risk of heart disease with an increased consumption of CLA, a nutrient abundant in grass-fed beef. Grass-fed beef can help improve your heart health as it contains antioxidants such as vitamin E, high amounts of omega-3 fatty acids, less unhealthy fats, lower amounts of bad cholesterol, known as LDL cholesterol, which is a marker for cardiovascular disease. Now, does all that sound like beef is bad or beef is unhealthy? Not only is grass-fed beef good for the environment, putting carbon back into the soils, but they play an important role in maintaining the delicate ecosystem of grasslands and forestry and wetlands, as the mere act of them being there and grazing encourages plants to grow simply by stimulating their growth cycle and triggering the biological activity and nutrient exchanges between the soils and the plants. And this isn't unique to cows. I mean, all grazing animals, deer, elk, moose, and cattle, they all compact the soil with their hooves and open up new areas for seeds to take root. But we have a greater control over that process with cattle than relying on wild deer. Now, the next wee bit is something that personally affected us, and it's another example of the differences between grass-fed and grain-fed, but it does take a bit of a personal slant because it was 5 weeks of hell back in 2015. Have you ever heard of HUS? That's hemolytic uremic syndrome. No? Well, have you ever heard of E. coli? Everybody's heard of E. coli. So HUS is the result of the E. coli bacteria passing through the stomach lining and attacking the kidneys. It can be extremely fatal, and a fairly new treatment is peritoneal dialysis, which is when a catheter is placed into the lining of the stomach. The stomach is then flushed with a glucose solution, and then after an amount of time, it is emptied again, and more fluid comes out than goes in because the glucose, the sugar particles, attracts other fluid. So because the kidneys aren't working, this kind of takes the load off the kidneys and gets rid of the additional fluid that's in the body that's not being passed out through urine. Now, you may be wondering why I know this and why I'm talking about this, but a few years ago when Callum was 5 years old, this was back in 2015, he was in hospital for 3 weeks with HUS. All my kids caught E. coli, but only Callum and Iona, it's transferred into HUS. And they both still see a nephrologist every 6 months. But for Callum, he had full-on kidney failure. And through investigation at the hospital, that they found out that this specific strain of E. coli was super aggressive. And it turned out it was bovine in origin. So that means it came from a cow. So it's a really long story that I won't go into, but basically our whole ranch was checked. We had people there. They were testing everything. And it was found that this strain was not on YY Kikahe Ranch. And it turns out that we bought fruit from a road stand when we were at the coast, and this fruit farm was right next to a dairy farm. And the dairy farm sprayed their fields with the waste from the dairy, but it had filtered over to the fruit farm, and that contaminated the berries with E. coli. And my kids got sick because before we could even wash the fruit, they were in the back of the car munching on blueberries and strawberries. And did you know that this strain of E. coli is not present in grass-fed cattle? So grain-fed cattle have to develop higher levels of stomach acid to digest grains, which are not a natural food for cattle. The bacteria has also become resistant to these higher acid levels. And a study by Cornell University has determined that grass-fed animals have fewer E. coli, approximately 300 times less than their grain-fed counterparts. And in this same study, the amount of E. coli they do have is much less likely to survive our first line of defense against infection, which is our stomach acid. But if you look at the grain-fed cattle, their digestive tract has abnormal amounts of acid because they have to digest the grain. And the bad E. coli has become acid resistant. So if we ingest them in our food, a larger number of them can potentially survive our stomach acid and go on to grow in our gut and cause an infection. And in this case, passes through the stomach lining and attacks the kidneys in HUS. And did you also know that this can be significantly reduced by finishing the cattle on grass, or better yet, just being grass-fed and finish? Now, I wasn't going to include the part about Callum and HUS as it is so personal, and it was a hell we lived through, but in the end, I kind of feel it's an important piece of the grass-fed, grain-fed puzzle. Grain is not a natural food source for a cow, and they have to adapt to accommodate for it. But the adaption has a butterfly effect, if you will, as their adaption can prove fatal for us. Now, I don't want to start a big fight between a grass-fed cattle operation and a grain-fed or feedlot, because there's a place for everything. But just by finishing your cattle on grass, you can reduce the amount of this harmful bacteria, and you can increase all those fantastic micronutrients, and it's great for the environment. So just remember, not all beef is created equal.